The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
If you're building, or buying, or selling a home, the Real Estate Crew's got news for you at the Real Estate House Party.
With attorney Rick Carter.
Real Estate House Party.
Paralegal Kathy Holsthausen.
Real Estate House Party. Come in, have fun.
And comedian Tony V. Now, here's real estate attorney Rick Carter.
Welcome and thanks for joining us here on the Real Estate House Party. We're joined again by the Iceman and Tony V, who told us last week, and I thought you did an exceptional show, but you said in the beginning of the last show where you might just take a little nap during the show.
I'm exhausted.
Just call us. Call me when you need me.
This couple of weeks has been brutal. It's been awful.
Yeah, I mean, last night I dreamt I was a muffler and I woke up exhausted.
You've been waiting for years to tell that one.
Finally. Well, that's all we have time for.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in.
Remember his crab story?
Oh,
it was like a 20-minute story. The show was only 20 minutes.
I got it right here.
Yeah, crabs crawling.
It was crawling
crabs
out of a bucket. And
that was the funniest thing. It was the first time I actually read it out loud, and I was halfway through thinking to myself, when is this going to end? And I know you guys were thinking the same thing.
There's got to be a point to it.
You ever do that in life where you say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have gone down this road?
Yeah. A lot of times.
Yeah. I've been down a lot of roads.
Oh, yeah.
I should have taken a left instead of, yeah, exactly. So we figured we had to get you back because we just kind of just poked the bear on a few things.
Yeah.
We still
a lot of information.
I have a lot of people call me since the last show. Like, just maybe we have to elaborate things a little bit more, and then we're going to get into some niche products.
Sure.
That you might offer. Again, we're not promoting just your company, but if you want to get a hold of John Maroney, do we even know John Maroney on Google you?
Yeah, just Google me, John Maroney, J-O-H-N, space, M-A-R-R-O-N-I.
Oh, it's the space you got to keep it. Yeah.
That's the part. Yeah, if you put them together, you get...
Ooh, you're in big trouble then.
You get another
John Maroney.
You get another John Maroney.
Oh, yeah,
and you
sense of humor.
You don't want to deal with him.
No, exactly.
I was talking to someone from Chicago, and I asked her to Google me, and I came up from Chicago just by my name.
Really?
Yeah.
Google. That's how she tracked you down?
Yeah, apparently Google thinks I'm relevant now.
Because you have over 100 reviews, right?
Yeah, I just checked 127.
Wow.
Yeah. I periodically get calls for a Tony V who owns a body shop in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And you take the call.
I take the call.
Do the work, too?
I go, yeah, just drop it off.
We'll take it apart.
I'll have it by Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, where is it? That doesn't matter. Just drop it. We'll take it.
I used to start, you remember when I used to stop my seminars, but it was true because I'd give them my cell phone number.
Yes, yep.
I'd give the number. I said, but don't use 942 with the same number because in town we have 944, 942. 942 is a fertility clinic.
Oh, there you go.
So I got all those phone calls.
Sure.
So that was enlightening for a lot of those calls.
Yeah. Deposits are different there.
Yeah, but
that's
I think
different sort of
deposits and discharges and all kinds of things.
Well, you got so many calls. You should be certified.
I know.
Now.
Well, I am. Yeah.
Certifiable.
That's what a few people said. I was certified when I did that.
Yeah.
So,
again, just leave your specimen in the mail slot. I don't care how it gets there. Yeah. Yeah.
Just label.
Should I put
it.
My name on it? No, don't worry.
We'll figure it out.
We know where you live.
We'll do your DNA analysis. You'll be fine.
So, thank you.
This is a strange real estate attorney. He has a mop.
And some sort of, he's got a lot of apparatus around him. He says he uses them for his procedures, but...
Blacklight.
Kathy Holzhauser wouldn't be putting up with this
foolishness.
No, here's your chance.
We might not talk to any real estate here now.
The lane is wide open.
I'm finding out, though, you guys are kind of meshing your personality. You and Kathy Holzhauser. Kind of meshing your personality. You're like a real estate expert now.
I know things.
You know things.
It's just listen, we've been doing this for about 100 years. Something seeps in. You know what I mean?
It does. Yeah. It stays.
Yeah. Right.
And Kathy's.
Yeah, it's like I don't know French, but I can order a croissant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you just pick up this stuff. I don't know.
And Kathy, she seems to be completely off the rails now. She used to try to keep us.
Us on,
now
she realizes how futile it is.
She gave up a while ago.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming back. You got some niche products to talk about.
I do.
We have actually, there's a lot of, up to about 4 or 5 years ago, everyone just, I'd get my fixed rate at such and such percentage point, and that was it.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Now, there's a lot more competitive out there with the lending world.
What do we consider a niche or a niche product? What?
Hey, give us one niche product to start us off with.
All right. Well, from the last show, we were talking about the cash program.
Yeah.
People wanted to clarify a little. Just two seconds. Clarify that a little bit. So you're almost coming in. Now, explain the part again where the bank is actually buying the house.
All right. In order to do that, we fully underwrite the borrower first.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we know we have a solid borrower, they just got to put 5% down. The offer, the bank will actually buy the house. So the realtor, we have a transaction coordinator that gets with the realtor to help them write up the offer. And they'll also send over the proof of funds. So it's a bona fide cash offer. So when the
bank is actually the buyer.
Correct.
Yep.
And when when that transaction happens, the realtor gets paid on that transaction.
Yep.
From the bank.
No, from the seller.
From the seller.
Yep.
So they want to keep everything the same. They don't want the brokers losing out on the deal, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yep. Okay.
And then at that moment, the bank owns the property and the buyer, they don't own the property yet, but they can move in and they'll sign a lease.
So they must have all these agreements lined up beforehand.
Right.
Because then you don't want the buyer.
So they're leasing the house from the bank.
Yep.
Are they paying the bank for the time they're in there?
They are. But if they're also selling their house, the bank will say, all right, you don't have to pay us.
Until you sell the house.
Correct. Because we don't want you, being strapped, paying two mortgages.
Yep.
And then when they sell the property to the buyer, there's a fee of 2%. So how that works is, let's say they bought the bank bought the house for $500,000.
People were asking me, what the fee
would be. Yeah, what's the catch? It's too good to be true.
Right. All
right. So somebody's making money.
Someone's making the money.
So and there are other companies that will charge 5%. The reason why they try to minimize it at 2% because you got pretty much a half is transfer taxes. So they got to cover that. And then, the other point and a half to kind of keep the program going. But what happens is the buyer doesn't have to come up with the 2%. What they'll do is they'll add it to the purchase price,
They're making this pretty convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
now
they're financing, instead of a purchase price of 500, it'll be a purchase price of 510. So some people might say, all right, that sounds cool, but geez, why should I have to pay another 2%? Well, what they found is, after doing like 1,000 of these, all the surveys show that if someone is a cash buyer versus someone mortgage financing, ends up paying 12% less as a cash buyer.
Oh.
So, in reality, according to those numbers, someone would have probably had with a mortgage financing, probably would have had to pay $530,000 for the house or $540,000. But instead,
someone has this backing, says, I'll give you $480,000. We're going to close in a week.
Yes. And more important, let's say it's all even, right? Let's say those numbers are not correct. You get the house accepted, right?
Yeah,
And I know if I'm a buyer's agent, I don't want to show them the 101st house or the 102nd house that I've been showing them. I go,
Tony, would you be comfortable dealing with your lender saying, even if those numbers aren't correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. Well, if it was John Maroney,
I'd buy that, though.
I'd buy
anything
from him.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm not worried about that at all.
Well, here's the thing.
Don't worry about those numbers.
Numbers, it's just numbers.
All right, let's say you're uncomfortable with that. Those numbers, okay?
Those numbers are not to your liking.
Yeah,
okay. We'll give you other numbers. No, we're not uncomfortable.
Numbers are infinite. We got all kinds of numbers.
Right.
We just put them in there until they work.
Just rearrange them where you want them.
If I put that one in front of the other 10, it's a different number.
What number would you be comfortable with? What would it take you to drive this house out of this lot?
I can see you in this house.
We'll have the house washed by noon.
You wait here. I just have to go talk to my manager.
I'll be right back. All right. We derailed you, but I just thought that was funny. No. Go ahead.
So you do have another option. So we fully underwrite you. You're fully underwritten. You don't have to do this cash program. You can you can make a regular offer, but knowing that now, instead of you're pre-approved, you're pre-underwritten.
Yeah, yeah.
So your only condition is to get an accepted offer. So that makes you a stronger buyer as well.
So not do you already quite have it appraised at that point?
No.
Okay.
No, but
we're still making up numbers.
Yeah,
we're just making up numbers.
Conditions.
Right, we're just making up numbers.
It's under the Fibonacci.
We're spitballing right now.
It's under the Fibonacci model.
No, we don't want to derail this spitballing going on. We're just curious. Yeah,
you know. What is it? So, was it actually and hypothetically?
Oh, yeah.
Realistically.
Oh, that's it.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, that's for the next show.
Million. Yeah.
All right. So we derailed you again. Sorry about that.
What this is a nice strategy to get your offer accepted.
Yep.
Period. Because,
yeah. Right.
And it's a nice way of competing against the cash buyer because now you become a cash buyer.
Right.
Period.
How about this? If you don't want to go through all this where they're actually buying the house, you do have the program, which I like this one too, where, and I think we touched about on it a little bit last week, where you're not using both costs involved with the present house and the house you're buying.
Right.
So
on this program, that's the case.
But can you also do that where, you know, I'm selling this, it'll probably be about a month.
Yep.
Is there a way that you're not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that program too.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That seems like more
we call that the buy now, sell later program.
Buy now, sell.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
And just so you know, the cash program, you don't have to have a house to sell. You could be a first-time home buyer to participate.
Oh.
Don't you need a house?
Don't even need
No, you could just buy a house.
Okay. Buy a house. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. start as a cash buyer.
Can you do a few?
What?
Can you do a few?
No, it has to be owner-occupied.
All right. Yeah. Now all of a sudden he's serious. Is the rules there?
Yeah.
All right.
There are rules. The rules seem to be flexible, but there are rules.
I am required to state them. Whether you follow them or not, we'll see what we can do.
All right, so that's a good point. So one house, one owner-occupied house.
Yeah, it's owner-occupied.
Right? Yeah. That makes sense. So, all right, so you have those couple programs.
And it's limited to single family and condos. Only.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. So no multifamily, no investment?
Not at this time, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
How about for vacation homes? Nope.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
No.
They don't like vacation homes these days. What's up with that, John?
Because I think they're figuring if you know, things go wrong, you know, the vacation homes will go first. Like, people will stop paying on it.
God, no. I'd keep that one.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I'd have
to
have...
Take my regular
house. Sure, I'd have to have somewhere to live after my wife throws me out for doing all this skullduggery.
Yeah.
I don't know. John Maroney said it was fine. I don't know what to tell you.
No, John Maroney said you need an exit strategy.
That was in his fine print.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me, what is an asset depletion program?
So that one there is a nice way to help people get qualified. So post-closing assets. So if someone, after they close, have, say, $500,000 in the bank.
Okay.
We, in terms of calculating income, we'll take the $500,000 divided by 240 months.
Oh boy.
Or 240. That's it. That's where I stopped.
Writing this down.
So basically the monthly payment would come out to about $2,100 a month that we could add towards qualifying income. Where I see that come in a lot is, let's say, first-time home buyer needs a cosigner. And I'll say to them, maybe let's get your parents to cosign. Oh, they make no money. They're retired. Oh, they got a Social Security.
But
I had someone that I had the parents cosign, and they had, like, you know, a lot of money. And enough, when I was, after calculating with this asset depletion formula, I was using $9,000 a month for qualifying income just for the parents.
Oh, boy, did we get them a nice house then, huh?
Yeah, well, the kids finally, that's when they learned the parents had all kinds of money.
All of a sudden, they're going uptown to buy that house, huh?
I don't think I'll buy this house now. Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. What bank statement program? Do you just give them a bank? Oh, it sounds like he likes that one.
He likes that one, yeah.
Now we're talking.
So let's say someone doesn't, whatever they make, they don't share with the IRS. Okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect on the tax returns.
Yeah.
Yep. So they'll take a look at the actual, say, 12 months bank statements, look at the deposits, and just
The IRS could be doing too, but go ahead.
Oh, they will be.
Yeah.
There's no question. And if the person also has, you know, their own business, they could take a look at the deposits and go as high as like 90% of the deposit. So if the average deposit's like 10 grand a month,
yeah,
they might be able to use 9 grand a month.
Okay.
But I would say as a safe number on average, I've been seeing they just use like half of that. So
okay.
10 grand a month deposit.
Five.
Yeah, we're using five. Yes.
Thank you. That's about all I can do. That's about the extent of my
math. Wow, you know everything. You understand everything.
You're just talking about that. You're learning a lot about this real estate. Sure. Sure. You're just like a sponge. Yeah.
Sure.
Aren't you? Yeah, you're just a sponge.
Just takes it all in.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different it seems like anybody can buy a house.
It's getting there. Here's the next, which leads me into the next.
But doesn't
one.
That get us into trouble a little bit?
Okay. That's how it starts, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, so we're starting it right now.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. All right.
I'm telling you, Wall Street forgets, and there's a new crowd.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right, go ahead. Brings you to another one, you said?
Yeah, the debt service credit ratio program. If someone's buying an investment property, they will just base it on the property's own merit. So, in other words, if it's
which is fair,
So if they're getting rents of $5,000 a month and the total expenses of $5,000 a month, they'll do it.
They'll do it. That's as long as
20% down.
As long as they never lose that tenant.
Well, what happens after closing?
That doesn't matter.
You just want to get them there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. That's all right.
Yep. And then let's see here.
How about reverse mortgages?
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah. So, nutshell, reverse mortgage is you get a mortgage and you don't have to pay.
You don't have to pay.
Just the interest accrues every month. Where it works, you have options of taking out how you want to take out the money. Sometimes it could be like a lump sum, maybe a couple hundred thousand. But let's say you just want to set it in place so you can get a line of credit. And the beauty about, let's say it's a $200,000 line of credit. And let's say you don't even use it. Like, well, the available line will increase by 8%. So after the first year, you're up to $216,000. A lot of people use that for a strategy. Let's say they have their money in the market, and now let's say there's a correction in the stock market and the values of their stock drop. So instead of taking money out of the stock market or your mutual funds, wherever it is, that's when you draw against the reverse mortgage. Give it your money time to recoup.
Yeah,
to recover.
I see.
So it's a nice. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah.
So who does that benefit? The reverse mortgage.
Well, it benefits the.
I know they try to sell it to old people.
Yeah, 62 and older.
Yeah.
And let's say you have someone that's they get a mortgage. They're paying like $1,500 a month. Well, replace that mortgage with the reverse mortgage. Now they don't have to make that $1,500 a month payment. That's a lifestyle change for most people.
Yeah.
$1,500 a month.
Sure. Now, but then when that mortgage comes due, you know, or the transfer of the house to the kids or whatever, who gets screwed?
Well, whatever the balance of the
mortgages do.
Right. So, well, it eats into the kid's inheritance. There's one.
Okay.
So kids have to decide, you know, what's more important, their inheritance or their parents.
Oh boy. Don't throw that option
out. I don't even have a third one, you know, to break the tie.
Yeah.
Because I know one would be on my side and the other one would go, no, what about the money? You know, I'd need a third to go, come on.
You got one on your side.
Yeah, I got one on my side.
So in theory, you would think the value of your property would continue to go up faster than what the reverse mortgage balance would be.
But does the house still gain equity?
Yeah, if it increases in value.
If it increases in value.
Absolutely. So then it's just a regular mortgage payoff.
Right.
At the end.
At the end.
And because all that interest.
But all that interest is on top of that.
Right. And when it's paid off, all that interest can get written off on the taxes once that's all paid off.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you hear a lot of negative things about reverse mortgages.
Well, they're harder to get than you think.
You're right. So if someone's 62 years old, the most they're going to get is like 30% of the appraised value.
Right.
And if
you already have a big mortgage on there, it's not like you can pay off that mortgage.
No, then the numbers wouldn't work.
If you have a $500,000 house, $250,000 mortgage.
Yeah, you're
not going to work.
No.
Right.
No, unless you have extra money to come up with the difference to pay off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing is, you want to be careful. even if you didn't have a mortgage, you still have to pay your real estate taxes and homeowners insurance.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So there are cases.
It's not a complete get out of jail card.
No,
right,
no.
Right.
But there are cases where people, their houses were being foreclosed on. They didn't have a mortgage, but the town was going to foreclose because they didn't pay.
Yeah. You paid taxes.
So what they would do, they would actually still give them a reverse mortgage. But what they would do is calculate, you know, depending on how old they are, they'd set up an escrow account to cover the real estate taxes for maybe 10 or 15 years.
A lot of people get that reverse mortgage just to pay off those taxes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
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 And yep. Customary. What do most people do? Do they get that one lump sum or usually?
It's kind of like a combination because some of it will be to pay off the mortgage. And then the right. idea is to try to, you know, I like the line of credit one because it increases the available.
So in that line of credit, you're not paying for that interest, any interest on that unless you use it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So you could get a $250,000 line of credit,
mm-hmm.
and then if you don't use it, you're not getting...
Right, and the available credit increases every year.
Yeah.
And as long as your primary residence...
Automatically just gets increased yep. every year.
Primary residence is defined living there from 181 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so...
Translation.
What do you think about that?
So I like it.
So that's six months in one day.
Right.
Yeah.
To put
yeah.
it another way.
Yeah. Maybe
yeah.
you don't like your kids.
You know.
You know what I mean? Maybe yeah. you're having trouble with yeah, your yeah. family, and you go, yeah. you go.
I've had customers that said that.
You do that one more time. I'm taking out a reverse mortgage.
Reverse mortgage.
I'll show you
yeah.
guys.
Yeah. I'll be dead. I don't care.
No, I had it with this one woman. She goes, kids, those bastards, screw you. Take care of me first.
Yeah, some people think that.
If the remaining one dies, how many months do you think do you have before you have to pay the loan off, or the heirs have to pay the loan off?
I would say within 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, at least show that you're making an effort.
We have one now. Yeah, you just got to talk to the lender.
Yeah.
And keep getting extensions on that. Because sometimes there's nasty probate going on.
Yeah, I know.
And they don't get resolved very quickly.
Nope.
So you do have to keep asking for extensions. I think if you keep notifying the bank up front. So.
Yeah. I mean, because some people, you might have one of the years might want the house. And then, so they would probably refinance.
Right. Now, yeah. say you have an irrevocable trust. Family trust. Does yeah. that affect anything?
Yeah, you can't put it in one.
Yeah.
You can't
Cannot.
Get a reverse mortgage.
No.
How come?
Because then you can't foreclose on it for any reason.
I see.
You know, it has to be
revocable. Well, there goes that.
It can be revocable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just can't
yeah,
be.
Wait, and what's the difference between, I guess I know
that's
the
right question. Go ahead.
Yeah. So irrevocable.
Means that you can't do anything about it.
Exactly. So in the revocable ones, you can amend it.
You can go, I was kidding.
Stop it.
But then
I didn't know you were going to
So the question
on that
to Rick is, why would someone get an irrevocable versus irrevocable
right.
for better estate planning for like
protection,
healthcare, and
okay. Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so
see, which one's better?
Well, and again, we're not you guys call your own attorneys and counselors.
Call Rick Carter.
This is like talking about qualifying for maybe a nursing home or Medicare.
Right, so those you want to go probably irrevocable.
So, because then they can't go after the house because the house
is in the trust.
Got it.
Right. Right.
So that protects.
So a lot of these really trust the revocable ones a lot of times to avoid probate, you know. So it's pretty much automatic.
Right.
Like you can put you as the trustee. If something happens to you,
then
you
wife becomes a trustee.
Yeah, your wife. Right. But if something happens to both of you, Gus might be
Gus
the trustee.
Next.
Yeah, exactly. You could do it that way. So it's a lot easier for probate purposes. And it's also good to put it in just a simple real estate trust to avoid liability.
Right.
So if there's ever a lawsuit on the, you know, someone trips and falls, they can only go after the property as opposed to you personally. So that's,
I see.
Those are the two big reasons.
What about creditors?
Creditors, they can find you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll depend on how it's set up. Yeah. So, okay. and as you hit on the head, no matter what, taxes can always follow you. So,
taxes will they'll find them.
They'll get you. They'll those get real you. Estate yeah. taxes there. So,
yeah.
You guys don't do a lot of reverse mortgages, do you?
We do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
You know where it comes into play is the gray divorce. They call it the gray divorce. Seniors 62 and older, the divorce rate has tripled since the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know.
I can understand.
Well, after a while, you know, because people are living longer, right? Yeah. They're looking at each other going, I got another 20 years. I don't know if I can make this.
Yeah.
give me 20 good years of my life, right?
Yeah.
And then, so then the other spouse will say, all right, fine, but I want to keep the house, but I can't afford the mortgage. Then they get.
Then you get a reverse.
Get a reverse.
And everyone gets a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you handle the divorce? What do you see with the divorce? You do a lot of divorce.
Yeah.
Mortgages, well, not divorce mortgages, but people
helping people navigate.
Exactly. What are you seeing now? Give us some tips on that.
So, well, for openers, I like to work with folks that are in either mediation or collaboration because they're more likely to want to work something out. You know, because if you got someone
that's so,
if it's acrimonious,
those are such nice terms.
Yeah.
But once you get into collaboration, people are going crazy.
They're not collaborating.
No, they're still collaborating. It's when you start getting into the litigation, they're throwing rocks at each other. Talking to them.
Right. When it's acrimonious.
Exactly.
Even in mediation, everything sounds great. And then when it starts, that last 1% of the transaction.
Yeah.
Right, when you actually have to put it into action, they go, with you. Yeah.
You know,
I've done some closings where to the very end, they torch each other over about the littlest thing. Like the oil adjustment. You're not getting half of that. I'm the one who'll pay. Yeah, it's just, I think it's that last ditch effort they can torture their spouse as they go out the door.
I've had cases where, you know, one spouse would say, you know, the other spouse's sole mission is to torture me.
Yeah. Right.
At all costs.
Yeah.
Good Tony shaking his head.
Down to the penny.
Whip her. So what's your strategy for, here's a problem.
Yeah.
People are getting divorced. They have a rate of 3%.
Yeah.
One wants to buy the other out. Mm-hmm. Now they got to refinance to buy the other one out.
Yep.
Now the rate's at 7%.
Sure.
I mean, you're going to lose a lot of.
So in a situation like that, you got to first say, okay, you know, what's the end game here? Like, what would be your ideal?
What are you
outcome?
Hoping to get out of it?
And some may just say, you know, I just want to pay my spouse off, we'll do an equity buyout, and I just want to own the house outright at all costs. But, you know, it's 7%, I'm going to give my spouse $100,000. Jeez, my mortgage payment's jumping up to $700 a month.
More,
But I can't afford that. And then I would say, okay, so instead of taking out $100,000, why don't you, you know, maybe you want to keep the house for another 4 years and it's going to cost you an extra $30,000. Maybe we'll just take out $130,000. You know, your spouse will get 100. You take that 30,000 and put it in a separate account to help offset that extra payment.
Okay.
So it's a way of getting them to keep it.
That 30,000 is paying the fees over the years.
Right. Because in that situation, this isn't like your simple financial planning situation. It's more like I got to get out of this situation,
and I
need to. It's a transitional approach strategy to get you through the next 4 years. You know, because you might have, you know, the kids are in high school and you want them to, you know, not leave the community or the house or anything like that to graduate. And then after that, you know, they'll sell the house then.
Most of this comes down to how ethical and nice person you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Or how much you want to screw somebody over.
Right.
And so, some people live for that.
I don't like that. I've seen closings where I go, just let it go, you know.
Well, right. And I always say, you know, there's life after divorce. The question is, what do you want your life to be like?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Period.
All right. We got 1 minute left. People always ask me after you leave, give us like 3 or 4 quick tips. I know this isn't your complete bag, but how to improve their credit. And then we're going to wrap up for today.
Okay. Well, it depends on what their credit's like. So, number one, if you're maxed out on your credit cards, that's going to drop down your score. So if you have any way of trying to pay down the credit cards, just work on paying it down to available
like
credit.
50% of
even lower than that. Okay. Like, probably like 25.
Okay.
That'll get your score up.
Yeah.
If you're behind in your credit, you know, do what you can to try to start making the payments on time, because after like 12, 24 months, they'll get your score back up. Because it's the credit score, the FICO score
Is there a way to find your FICO score yourself?
How would you do that?
I would just go to goficoyourself.com.
That, you know what? That's been getting a lot of hits lately. Yes. You know, how often can you FICO yourself, do you think? And is there a certain time of day?
Well, yeah. It's always the right time to FICO yourself.
It varies per individual, so.
Yeah. If you want to rebuild credit, you can get credit cards. There's a nice website. It's called creditcards.com.
Oh.
And I like yours better.
It all goes hand in hand.
Yeah. So to speak. Yes.
Yes. And so you can get a credit card no matter your situation. If you have, you just came out of bankruptcy, right, foreclosure.
So this, speaking of that, we'll wrap up with this one. If you're maxed out at one credit card, should you get that second credit card?
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
You obviously don't care. Yeah, yeah. Why not get eight?
Yeah.
Only have 1,000 on each of them.
Yeah, that's all. Spread it out.
Instead of 8,000 on one.
Well, I will tell you what you don't want to do.
Okay.
Let's say someone pays off their credit card, and all of some reason they're just so angry at it for some reason. Yeah. Don't close it out, because you probably had that for about 5-10 years. That's,
it's good to have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
because if you close that out, your credit score will actually drop.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you just got rid of your credit score was based on longevity of that credit.
Oh, I see.
History, and you just got rid of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tell people, just leave it.
Just keep
leave
all your credit cards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing you want to be careful of, if that credit card happens to have an annual fee and you don't get your new paperless statements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not doing it. All of a sudden, when the fees do, you're going to get hit. But if you're not paying attention, you don't pay it for years later.
Right. Yeah. That can hurt your credit. So it kind of defeats itself.
You know what even is better? Get other people's credit cards.
Yeah.
Or get yours and have them co-sign.
Yeah, sure. Run them up.
Other people's money.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, OPM.
Oh, you mean people you don't even know?
Yeah, you don't know.
Just grab their credit cards. Right.
They leave them around.
See, this is why you got to listen to the show till the very end. Because you get some real good pointers at this point. If you're running out of, if you're running in a little bit of trouble, just grab someone else's credit cards.
That's all you got to do. Go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
See you in Aruba.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, all right.
There's a lot of that going on.
Well, with that being said,
nothing else need be said.
With that gem of a tip there, we're going to head out and see you next week here on the Real Estate House Party. Thanks for joining us. John Maroney, the Ace Man, Tony V. We'll see you.
Peace.
All right.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.